the devotional this morning, and it'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I was thinking on my way up here that this really is not for y'all. I wish there was a mirror in the back that I could look at the man it's for as I give it, so I'd be able to point the finger just at who deserves to be receiving it. And I often think of folks who say, I wonder what the will of God is for me. I wonder what the will is. And so I thought about Romans chapter 2, and it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a mouthful right there. If we just got a hold of that, we would know what the will of God is. And then in Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians it is, in verse 3 to 7, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel with sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Then we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I sit here and I'm thinking, man, if I want to know what the will of God more in my life is, maybe I need to take care of the things that he says absolutely without a doubt. This is the will of God for you. Have I done those things that he might show me more things to do? Because I'm sitting here, what should I do about this? And what should I do about this? Have I handled the ones he's explicitly told me, this is the will of God for you? I'm looking at that mirror back there because I put it up a while ago. 1 Peter says, for this is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servant of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, servants be subject unto your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffer wrongfully, for what glory is it if when he is buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Amen. And some folks here and here know more about that than y'all do, but back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Which is where our lesson is this morning. And I know we're not Israel, but we are the children of God. We are the believers in Jesus Christ. And it says here in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, talking about the Ten Commandments that he gave us earlier, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Do I sit around and think about what pleases God in my heart all day long? These words that I've commanded you should be in my heart. He said when I got saved, he wrote these words on my heart. He put these words in my heart. Says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. It didn't say the pastor should teach them diligently to our children. It didn't say the Sunday school teacher should teach them diligently to our children. It says, I should teach my children diligently these words. You should teach your children diligently these words. You are in charge. When God says, I'm going to hold you accountable for something, He's not going to say, the pastor is responsible for teaching your children. It's going to come back to this verse and say, you shall teach your children diligently these words. I have to teach my children diligently these words. It says, and thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thy house. Boy, do our TVs get in our way there. I'm watching a program, even a program that I don't want to watch. And my wife will talk to me. And I will be annoyed because she started talking to me. Even though I don't really care about what I'm watching, I still get sidetracked and get aggravated because my thought train was interrupted. It says here, just like this, when we're sitting down, maybe sometimes when our children come to us, we'll switch them boxes off. Turn them radios off. Turn them phones off. Turn the flippers off. Turn the computers off and say, baby, what did you say? What do you want to talk about? I can remember my mama, and she wasn't a very church-like person, but when I was growing up at ages 6, 7, and 8, and all in the earlier, I remember her breaking out a hard-covered book of Bible stories and reading me about David and Goliath and about Daniel in the lion's den and about all kind of characters in the Old Testament that told about things that God had done and what He had done in their lives. It says, when you get up, start talking about Jesus. It says, in fact, no, we're going to get past that. Thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently, the children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down. They used to all sleep in a big bedroom there, sort of kind of together. And when thou risest up. In other words, there's not a single time of the day that God will not be on my heart. That God will not be on my mind. That God will not be being presented to my children, my grandchildren, or anybody who may be in the vicinity of talking to me somewhere all day long. If you don't like God, you better stay away from me because I'm going to talk about Him. I think the Christians have lost that. We've given it up. We haven't understood God expects us to talk about God. God expects us to talk about the One who saved us. We may not understand all the doctrines and all the philosophies that go into this thing, but I do know that when I got saved, something changed. I know that my position changed. I don't know how, except God did it all. He worked it all out. But He says, when you get up, talk about Jesus. When you walk around, have you ever walked down the dirt road? Well, y'all don't have dirt roads. I have walked on a dirt road before. With your children. But I can remember that I didn't talk about Jesus when we were walking down that dirt road. I wished I had. I wished I'd have known too. But the ones who do know too, when you're going fishing, when you're going hunting, when you're going to the ball game, when you're going to the movie, wherever you may be going, sometime there's a place on your way that you can bring up Jesus. There's always a thing where you can bring up Jesus. It says here, and thou shalt bind them for signs upon thine... Oops, too many pages. Hand. They used to wear little bracelet things with Jesus stuff on it, God stuff on it. It says, thou shalt bind them as a frontlet. They used to have headbands. The Pharisees and Sadducees always had their little garb on with their little stuff on. When our people wrote the Constitution of the United States and set up this government all over the courthouses and all over the administration buildings, everything had the Ten Commandments was everywhere. Somebody back then used to believe in this God stuff. And all of a sudden, we give it over to being polite. God stuff makes ungod people upset. But God didn't say, because you're going to upset them, don't talk about Jesus. He never told us not to talk about Jesus so we'd be nice to them. He said, talk about Jesus because he's your Savior. Talk about Jesus because he's the one that bought you. Talk about Jesus because I want you to. Says, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house. Boy, if you ever go to my house, you'll see the Ten Commandments on the wall over here. You'll see some nails over here. You'll see, as for me and my house on the front door, if it's still there, I ain't looked lately, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Somewhere along the line, my wife got that. You know, as I said, my wife got that. I didn't get it. But all over my house, you'll see things that remind us about God. When you come to visit me, if I'm not doing God's stuff, you'll look at the walls, and the walls will reflect what I'm supposed to be doing. It reminds you about God's stuff. It says in chapter 11, you say, Ted always brings it up, he says it more than once, he ought to really get a hold of it. I'm trying not to be too long. But in chapter 11, it repeats the very same thing in verse 18. Therefore shalt ye lay up these words in thine heart and in your soul, and bind them upon your hands, that ye may be frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of the house and the gates. And I don't want to steal some of Brother Jerry's thunder, but I'm thinking when he gets into Elijah after a while, about four verses up, verse 15, it says, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, and thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your hearts be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, and the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly off the good land which the Lord gave thee. I think Elijah, when he prayed about the rain, he prayed God's word right back to him. When he got a zeal for God, he prayed God's word. We need to be praying God's word back to God. God, you said, if we would do this, or if they're doing that, you will do this. I don't even know if we always know what God said he's going to do anymore. As far as a Christian bunch out there. But if we were doing, praying back earnestly, he says he was a man just like we are, with the same things as we are, talking about Elijah. If Elijah could pray the word of God back to God with a zeal for God, for his holiness, for his glory, for his honor, that God himself would stop it from raining for 3.5 years to get his purpose done. Man, what would happen if we would pray the word of God back to God earnestly about what's happening in our country and about what's happening in this world? I understand that he's going to bring it to an end. I understand he's going to wrap it up and make a short work out of it. But nowhere did he tell me, because I understand that, I should not be rising up and sitting down and walking around and telling people about Jesus. Nowhere did I get the word that says, because I'm going to do all these things and I'm going to do it no matter what, you get a free ride. I did not get a free ride, and you didn't either. And I'm talking about the guy in the mirror back there, the guy who deserves to hear what I'm just said, because that's it me. I need to know more about the Word of God, that I can pray the Word of God, that I can teach my children and raise up my children. It doesn't say they'd get saved, but I'm still supposed to teach them and raise them up and lead them and guide them. In fact, in one place in Corinthians it says, because of the saved one in a family, the children are holy. God does a little bit extra for the saved person. He's praying and doing and teaching and trying to raise a child up. But it is God that will save. I didn't mean to take all your time, brother.